above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. This is Susan Puzio. I want to welcome you today to Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we are going to have a special guest for you today, Karen Panzler-Lamb. And we are going to be talking about Jimmy Swaggart's Gap Theory, the error of the Gap Theory. Also, we will be discussing the Church Mafia and the New Order Church. So those are our topics for today. We also want to let you know that we broadcast every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Prophecy Zone Radio Network. Also, this Monday I will be having a special program on Prophetic News Channel with Paul Bortolazzo. We will be talking about the end times, the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that will be live on Monday at 2 p.m. on the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. So I hope you all will tune in. Also, we have a website, and that is propheticnews.com. You can go there and see many great articles to read that will help you grow in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also have a YouTube channel, and that channel is Jonah, T for Tom, 48. So you can go and check out all our resources, and I'm sure it will be a blessing to you. You know that Jesus Christ came to the earth to die for our sins so that we could be free in Jesus. And we believe in being free in Jesus Christ. I believe that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So we don't go backwards into bondage and submit ourselves to doctrines of men and submit our will to people that teach error and try to get us back under the law. Jesus Christ said that he's come to set us free. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So we know that when we're born again, we truly become a new creature. And old things pass away, and we begin a new life in Jesus Christ. So we don't want to go backwards and be held in bondage by pastors and teachers that teach false doctrine. Jesus himself said that doctrine is important. And if you look at John chapter 7, starting at verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent me, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel." The religious, even the religious leaders of the day, there in Jesus' time, they were trying to kill him because he spoke the truth. They hated him. And we know that we're not going to be popular. You can see when you look at what they call Christian television today, and you see that the popular teachers, most of them don't preach against sin. They mainly preach prosperity and tell you how you can get rich and successful, and yet they don't teach that in this world you will have tribulation, which you will, because Jesus, that's a promise. That's one of the promises I think too many preachers avoid. But as long as we're in this world, we're going to have tribulation. So we have to be ready for it. And at all costs, we have to stand for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we are trying to reach a lost and dying world. And there's one message of hope, and that is the message of the gospel. And so that's why we do these programs. We hope that we can reach, even if we reach just one with the message of salvation, and we can help someone to turn to Jesus, that's what we want to accomplish. So I want to bring my guest on. And hi, is this Karen?
Hi, Susan. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
This is my guest, Karen Panzler Lamb, and we are going to be discussing today Jimmy Swaggart's gap theory and also the church mafia. Karen is the author of the website, The Liberty Advocate, and she is an educated attorney, educated at Regent University, which is Pat Robertson's school, also the daughter of an Assembly of God pastor. So Karen has seen and heard much in her time. Amen?
Amen. As I'm sure you have too.
Yes, I have too. And anyway, Karen, there will be a few people calling in. I did have an email from a brother, Randy, who has an interesting story. His grandmother was a member of Jim Jones' cult. Remember Jim Jones from Guy that took all the people to Guyana, and over 700 people committed suicide. And can you hear now? Someone's telling me they can't hear anything. Just let me know.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, someone in the chat room is saying he can't hear anything.
Okay.
So let me know, Ray, I see you in the chat room. Let me know if you can hear now. Just let me know if you can hear us, because he's saying he can't hear anything. We definitely don't want that.
Definitely not.
But anyway, he was then also a member of Creflo Dollar's church. So I asked him to call in today, and also Brother Ray Dion. He's going to call in. Let me see who else is on the line here. Let me see who's here. Area code 209. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes? Is this Ray or Randy?
Well, I'm 209, but I didn't press 1. I wasn't ready to talk. Hello?
Okay, so do you want to come on in a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay, then.
I don't have anything to say. I'm just a regular listener, so.
Okay, then. All right, so I'll put you back on hold for a few minutes.
Okay.
Okay, then. All right, Karen, you have an interesting article on your website about the church mafia.
Yes.
And What exactly do you mean by the church mafia? That's a pretty strong term.
That sure is, Susan. Well, the church mafia, I guess I have to explain a little bit first about the new church order, because it's the church mafia is tied into the new church order. And the new church order is, I don't know if I coined the phrase or not, that's what I call it, and it's a rebellion against the old church order. It's a rebellion against established biblical doctrines. It hates, well, you remember in the 60s where they just hated the establishment.
Yes.
And so this is kind of like a hatred of the establishment of the church. And everything has to be overthrown. And this is tied into Rick Warren. This is part of his strategy to build a one world, new world order church, which is basically religious humanism. So in order to do that, you have to get rid of all of the old church order things. You have to get rid of the hymns. You've got to get rid of doctrine, you know, biblical doctrine. It's based on good works. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, it's just basically a war against the old church order, the culture of the church, and the new church order really advocates a global socialist government and religious humanism. They want the culture of the world. There should be no distinction between the world and the church. And many of religious leaders, church officials, Assemblies of God, Church of God, Missionary Alliance, Baptist, of course Rick Warren is Baptist, they have bought into this. Of course it helps their tithes and offerings, because if you market your church toward the sinners, and you just bring the sinners in, I don't think they're really concerned. They say they are about converting them, but they're really not. It's all about increasing attendance, tithes, and offerings. And so they play, they want to be well thought of by leaders like Rick Warren. Now, I don't know if you know, Rick Warren believes in religious reconciliation, that the Christians and Muslims must reconcile their differences.
Oh,
we
really?
All believe in, yes, we all believe in God. That's all that matters.
Oh.
Yes.
So Rick Warren, he's not really born again then.
No,
I mean,
he's
you can't
not.
Make a statement like that if you're really born again.
No, you can't. And if you read Rick Warren's books and you listen to him talk, you will definitely notice that he excludes the Holy Spirit. So, of course, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to know the truth anyway, because it's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. So he denies the power of the Holy Spirit in building the church, and it's all man-made strategies. So the Assemblies of God has bought into this marketing strategy, and the Church of God and others. The top officials, George Wood, claims that he's a friend of Rick Warren. And I think his son-in-law goes and daughter go to his church in California. So therefore,
oh, really?
Yes.
Ah.
So he's advancing this. He's all for it. Now, if I didn't misunderstand, I saw on Facebook where Rick Warren was going to be speaking to the General Council of the Assemblies of God this week.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yes, because someone had written on Facebook,
no,
I can't believe they're
terrible.
Having Rick Warren at General Council.
Wow.
But, of course, it's not. They call it training, but it's really indoctrination. We know that.
Yes, that's a better word for it. That's the right word, is indoctrination, because it's
right.
Certainly not training. Whatever happened to the old Assemblies of God, the old way where you went to an Assemblies of God church? I remember going, and I've been born again for over 31 years, and, of course, you grew up in the Assemblies of God. So, you know, when you went, you heard a good gospel message, and we worshiped the Lord. And you came out feeling edified. After, when they started getting into, like you said, the indoctrination of being so relevant, like, trying to be so much like the world, and how everything has changed. What business does Rick Warren going to the General Council of the Assemblies of God to be a speaker? It's ridiculous.
Right, right. Well, he's not even our denomination. My husband keeps saying you can see where they're trying to erase the lines from denominations and really just make it into religious humanism. You know, doctrine doesn't matter. They claim doctrine doesn't matter anymore.
Now, that's true because I remember a while back emailing someone in the Assemblies of God, one of the people in the hierarchy, and bringing up some of the heresy, really, that I had heard by some members of the Assemblies of God. And he told me, well, it's all about unity.
Right.
Well.
Mm-hmm. So what the unity is about is the new church order is really the New World Order Church, which will go along with the New World Order, which is, of course, the one world government and the one world religion, which is religious humanism. It's really not about God at all. It's about man-made works.
Yeah.
And, of course, Rick Warren believes he's going to bring peace to the earth.
Yeah.
His global peace program, I'm sure you know, and because James Sundquist is on your program often, and he talks about that.
Yeah. Now, Karen, that's something interesting about you is that you went to Regent University, which is Pat Robertson's law school.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, tell me, what about your time there? How was that for you, and what did you see while you were there?
Well, I don't agree with everything Pat Robertson teaches or preaches by any means, but as far as my education was concerned, the academics, I got a very good education. I was very pleased. Now, they didn't try to indoctrinate you in his way of thinking, but they did try to encourage you to base it on the Bible. And they would bring in, at the beginning of class, we would give devotions, or one of the professors would give a devotion and prayer. Like I said, there was no indoctrination. But they wanted you to go out and make a difference in the world.
Yeah.
Exactly how he wants that, I don't know. I've heard things about him after I graduated, and I'm not sure really what he really intends the school to be.
Did you graduate?
I graduated in 1996.
Oh, I see. Because I think they later on brought in a Catholic. Wasn't it Vincent Sinan who's a Catholic?
Yes, that's correct.
Actually, to be the head of the university?
I graduated in 1998.
Now, I found that very interesting myself. Is why would they bring a Catholic in to head up a school that was founded by supposedly born-again Christians? So that to me was a very curious thing.
I think it's all part of this ecumenical thing.
Yeah.
That it's just about unity and Catholics and Protestants and Muslims must all join together.
Yeah, well, it sounds like universalism. It sounds like universalism and a form of ultimate reconciliation, which I see these churches all headed in that direction.
Yes.
Where if some of the listeners out there, if you don't know about universalism or ultimate reconciliation, you'll know that they teach that in the end everybody gets saved, whether they accept Jesus Christ or not. And there's so many people that are in it now. You see some of the people on TBN, one person, Mark Sharona, I know for sure. I expect T.D. Jakes to probably come out very shortly in favor of ultimate reconciliation and universalism. But you can see that it's all headed that way, where doctrine doesn't matter. All that matters is that you have prosperity and success in life, and they don't want you to judge. You're not supposed to judge righteous judgments.
Right.
And basically, when you go to church, you leave your brain at the door,
and your Bible.
Yeah, and your Bible.
Well, your
and
Bible,
then as you exit
church.
The door, you pick it up. And maybe then you can think for yourself. Fortunately, there's, and thank God for the Internet, because there's so many of us now, and we're finding each other on the Internet. where, as before, I think we had to suffer in silence for the most part because
right.
when
you're
you
like, am
ever,
I the only one?
Yeah, am I the only one? And then if you would ever dare to question the pastor, you would be ostracized and shunned.
Right.
And so now we have the freedom to use the internet to question everything.
Right.
And I think it's wonderful that God, he makes a way that we have to hold people accountable for what they're teaching. And it is important what we teach and what we preach to people because we have the responsibility of telling people the truth because their eternal destiny, Jesus Christ is not coming back down to the earth to preach the gospel. He uses human beings. And so we need to make sure that we get the message straight. Very important. Very
mm-hmm.
important. When you're talking about heaven and hell, it's very, very important.
Right.
And what else can you tell us about the New Order Church as it pertains to the church mafia?
Well, I call the hierarchies of these denominations that are following this new church order the mafia because they get very upset with resistors. They belittle them. Well, they try to drive them out of the church. Well, first of all, shut up. Don't say anything. You know, just go
yeah.
along. Don't challenge the pastor. When I was going to Southside Assemblies of God here in Lakeland about 5 years ago, a coworker had invited me to the church, said, hey, we got a new pastor. I think you really like him. So I started going, and within just a matter of months, he began to bring in the new church order. And I began questioning things, giving scriptures. And the associate pastor wrote back to me, emailed me, and said, you're not allowed to challenge the pastor. You just
oh.
do what he tells you to.
Oh, really?
Of course, I didn't. My response was, oh, well, I have authority to. You know, so it's just like, just don't question the pastor.
Wow.
And so they try to get you out of the church. Well, they try to hush you up first. Be quiet. Don't say anything. Just go along. You know,
yeah.
aren't you willing to do anything, you know, to build the church? You know, well, building the church and saving the lost are two different things.
Yes.
You know.
Amen.
And like you just said, we're supposed to save lost souls.
Yeah.
We're not here to build a one-world religion and a one-world government. Of course, that's
yes,
the...
Amen.
That's what's prophesied in Revelation is the Whore of Babylon, all that stuff. But so they try to get you to be quiet, and then they start, like, they really weren't interested in the older people. And by I mean older, it's like 40 and over. Okay, now 40 is young. And I'm
yes,
I was,
it is.
I was
yeah.
in my 40s at the time. But
yeah,
the focus
yeah.
went on the youth, solely on the young people with families. And so anyway, it's the mafia system where if you don't go along, be quiet, get out. If you don't go along, belittle you, insult you. And this is what is being taught by Rick Warren. That's what he tells pastors to do. Don't put up with them. You know, it's
oh,
like you have
yes,
a rebellion
yes.
on your hand. You got to quash it.
Yes.
And so George Wood follows that, the assistant superintendents follow that, and they pass all that kind of pressure down to the superintendents, the district superintendents, pastors. Don't put up with anything. Don't let anybody rock. You know, we're going to push this new world order, and if you have to drive people out of the church to do it, drive them out. It doesn't matter how long they've been there or how much tithes they pay. Get rid of them. Because this new thing's coming in.
And that's the truth. That is really the truth. They don't mind driving. Get rid of the troublemakers because we only want people now in our buildings that can't think, won't think.
Right.
And especially, we don't want people in our buildings that would read their Bibles
what?
On their own. Oh,
well,
you know, God forbid they should do that.
They really don't like true Christians. But, well, actually, they hate true Christians. It's almost like
that's
the scribes
true.
And the Pharisees.
Yes.
in Jesus' time, it's the same thing. Don't speak the truth. Just do what we tell you to, and, you know, we'll have a nice little happy church.
Yeah. That you see it so much. I'm always amazed when I turn on what they call Christian television, and sometimes you might get a little bit of gospel, and people can actually still get saved by watching some of these programs, because some of them actually still do present a salvation message. But it's so far removed from the New Testament.
Right.
And what Jesus really taught. I'm going to bring, I have another person on the line.
Okay, good.
And his name is Ray Dion, and he was a member, I think he was a member of Fred Price's church. So we want to hear what he has to say. Hi, Ray. Hi, Ray. I know you're
there. I'm not Ray. Hello?
Oh, is this not Ray? Who is this?
Oh, this is Stephen. I called last week. I still haven't pressed number one, but.
Oh, okay. All
I'll
right.
Be
let
in there soon.
All right,
but
I'll put
Ray.
You on hold. You came up in the wrong. Is this Ray?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. My name is actually Ray Kwan. It means soldier of light.
All right. Now, Ray, you have an interesting testimony too, don't you? Were you a member of Fred Price's church out in California?
Yeah, I was raised in his church, and I've been one of his disciples since 99, I guess.
Wow. So how did you get out?
Well, basically, I believe that a lot of the Word of Faith ministries, they teach a lot of good doctrine, in a sense. They preach against sin, you know, the big sins, as it were, you know. So basically, I pretty much held his feet to the fire, because, as I mentioned in the other show, one of the things that Dr. Price taught on was the sin against racism that Kenneth Hagin Jr. Was preaching. He preached a sermon back in 92 about interracial marriage not being biblical, Kenneth Hagin
Jr.
So so basically, you know, he got on him about that. So I used the same method as he used with that and other areas that he was preaching, that I felt that was very heretical, you know. So I called him and I left him a message, and he called me back, actually, and he just went off on me. He called me nebulous, and he said that, you know, my son is taking over the church, so if God didn't tell you to leave the church, then you can't leave unless you hear from God. And I'm just like, are you kidding? It broke my heart, because I actually moved out. I got out the Army in 2003. I moved to Oklahoma to go ORU, and then I didn't realize that they were, you know, crazy and had issues and
Well, you were like most of us. We walked around and we were singing, "Everything is beautiful."
Well,
and then, like we started to see things that were going on, and we're like, "Uh oh."
Well, the basis of it is, you know, besides if you believe in tithing or name it and claim it. Basically, all of it will reveal itself in sin, you know, because those guys who preach that, they'll start being prideful, they'll start being arrogant, they'll start having sexual sin. So that's where I left, you know. I noticed that most of the guys who preach that have serious pride issues and serious arrogance.
Oh, serious.
You know,
serious.
And that's one of the fruits of the spirit, you know. So if you claim to be spirit-filled, how in the world are you going to be arrogant? I believe the Holy Spirit has anointed me greatly to do a great thing, you know. And I've never just been arrogant to somebody because, I mean, we don't know it all. I mean, that's the whole basis of us having faith in Jesus Christ because, you know, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways, you know. So
well, that's
we,
the church. It sounds a lot like what we're talking about, the church mafia. Now, did you actually confront Fred Price over some of his teachings? Is that, did you call him on that and he wouldn't discuss it with you?
Well, it was
started telling you off.
This happened in 2007, like in January.
Uh-huh.
What happened was my wife and I at the time, we were in a Bible study with Fred Price Jr. He was preaching, and he was preaching something very out of line with the scriptures. He said that we were doing tithes and offering at a Bible study, and he just said, you know, in the Old Testament, this was a worship time, so you guys need to be silent, you know. And, you know, me and my wife looked at each other like, oh, I never read that, you know. So
yeah, I never read that either.
So
I always thought it was rather curious. And then later on when I realized what I was doing, when I was holding my money up in the air,
yeah,
and I was making it like it was a worship, and then they were telling, this is your act of worship.
Yeah.
And I later realized it was totally ridiculous. Like, why are we? Where in the Bible does it say we worship God with money? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it can't, because it changes. You know, money could be something tomorrow. You know, it means nothing. It's a piece of paper. You know, so
right.
But anyway, back to the story. So I send Dr. Price a letter regarding that, and he then calls me back 2 weeks later, and at the time, you know, he's my idol, he's my mentor, you know.
Yes.
At the time, so I've never really spoken to him at that, you know, before that time. So he calls me, and I'm just like blown away, you know. And it was a very professional, business like his secretary called me and said, oh, Dr. Price would like to talk to you. And, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, what is this? You know, he can't call me into his office, or, you know, it's like, who are you, God? You know, and so anyway, back to the story. So anyway, he gets on the phone, and he just starts going off. He says, you know, I read your letter, and you know, your comment about my son. It was very nebulous, and you know, and he's just going on. I can't even remember the whole thing. It really frustrated me because I was thinking to myself, here's this guy. I've been telling everybody for the last 8 years that he's a great man of God, and he's
he's and you loved him. You loved him.
Yeah, he's the most rude person I've ever spoken to in my life, and I've been in basic training in the Army. I've been, you know, on a crazy football team where the coach was crazy, you know. So this guy, it really, really caused me to just question everything at that point. Like, wow, I can't believe how rude this guy was, you know. So, and it just baffled me. So that's
well, it's kind of, if you my guest Karen Panzler, also she has some articles on her website about some of the letters that she's received from the hierarchy in the Assemblies of God Church, because she had written them letters and questioned some of the things that they were doing, and they were also very, very rude to her, and just kind of, you know, tried to brush her aside too. It's like whenever you have a question, and any true man or woman of God should be able to be asked a question and give an answer. And but they become so rich and powerful that you can't, first of all, like, you know, he wouldn't call you in the office. You probably, in his mind, didn't deserve an actual physical meeting with him. And if it gets to a place in a church where you can't touch the pastor, you can't talk to him, you can't make an appointment to see him, that's a little far out, because they have to remain touchable and approachable. Yeah.
And another thing is, while he was talking or scolding me, he quoted some scriptures that I knew by heart, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy doesn't know me from Adam. I could be more spiritual than he, you know. And actually, I read all of his books. I meditated on all of his teachings. I used to listen to his teachings. You know, all the time, you know. So I knew exactly what he knew, in a sense, you know, and the things that he taught, you know. So he's quoting these scriptures out to me like he's teaching me something, and I'm just thinking to myself, come on, how can you just go off on somebody you never met? I mean, even the Bible says, you know, you could be entertaining an angel. I could have been an angel, you know.
Right.
So, And he's just going to be rude to a person he doesn't know. So it just, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 gives us the features of what love is. And it says love is not rude and not puffed up. And, you know, they always concentrate on, oh, I've never cheated on my wife. I've never done this and that since I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like, okay, you know, Romans 12:1 says that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, you
but how do you treat God's people? See, then how do you treat God's people? And it's great. It is good in the sense that you found out what was going on. And you kind of had a rude awakening, you know. At the time, it hurts, but it's a good thing that it happened because it got you out, you know, got you out of there.
It definitely is, because I was just doing an exhaustive study on tongues and the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost and things like that this morning. And I was just researching and seeing that, you know, a lot of the attributes of the Holy Ghost is to reveal truth, you know.
Yes.
So basically, if you're really filled with the Holy Ghost, you won't get sucked in with all this new wind of doctrine, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing's new under the sun, you know. So
no, nothing new. There's a really excellent video on YouTube from NYTN, and it's called The Making of a False Apostle, and it's a video about Fred Price.
Yeah.
Now, you weren't there. Were you there when, Karen, this is a video, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a video of of Fred Price being made into an apostle, supposedly, and he actually is dressed in a Catholic priest uniform.
Oh my! No, I have not seen that, but I will make sure I look at it.
Yeah.
Well,
and he comes in, and they're holding up swords, and then they put a ring on his finger, and he's holding a staff.
Like a coronation, huh?
Yeah.
Well, they all think they're kings, you know.
Yeah. Well, I used to. Funny thing is, I actually bought the DVD or the video of that, and my wife and she and we put it in, and we turned it on for about 5 minutes, and we were just unbelievably shocked. We were like, okay, he's always been about, you know, oh, I'm not going to be denominational and this, that, the other. And this is the most Catholic thing I've ever seen.
It was.
You
but
know,
it showed he came out, in a sense, he said that was his coming out party.
Yeah.
Because he came out. And he said he showed who he really was. He wasn't going to hide it anymore.
Yeah.
Because obviously anybody that could look at that video and see this whole, coronation ceremony that was going on there.
I'm noticing.
And,
Oh, great. I'm noticing a pattern with all of these ministers on TV.
Yeah.
And the pattern is that all of them are going to revert back to doing Judaism-type things and Catholicism-type rituals.
Yes.
And I was going to a church in Germany, same thing. The guy started preaching sermons on, oh, I should be wearing a priestly robe. And I'm like, you're not a priest. You know,
yeah.
The Bible says that, you know, the New Testament says that we're all priests, you know.
Yeah, and even if you were a priest,
like you said,
we're all priests. What are we supposed to do, walk around in a long robe and a collar around our neck?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We're not supposed to separate ourselves.
From the common person.
Right. We're
because
just supposed
we're
to be like everybody
priests.
Else because there's only one great one.
Yeah.
And,
but Jesus, you know, Jesus.
Yeah, we haven't achieved that yet. You know, we're not going to. But it's very interesting. I think it's always interesting to talk to other people that have come out of these so-called Word of Faith churches and to see how, you know, things went on there and what happened. So I want to thank you for calling in, Ray, today. I want to get to the other part of the topic, which is the gap theory, the Jimmy Swaggart gap theory. So we're going to be discussing that now. But I hope that you'll call in again. And actually, I would like to have you on for an hour sometime just to talk about your experiences there and what God is doing in your life. So
okay.
I want to thank you.
All right. Thank you. God bless you guys.
Okay. God bless. All right. Karen, you know, it's always interesting, isn't it, to, like I was telling the listeners, how on your website, The Liberty Advocate, you can see how you have challenged the Assembly of God hierarchy with some of the errors that they've been teaching and actually embracing the one world religious system and how they came against you. And it's very odd. We're in a very strange time in the church world, and we really have to stay so close to God and in the Word so that we don't become deceived like the rest of them. How easy it was for these people to fall into deception, wasn't it?
Yes, that's correct, Susan. And thank you for emphasizing
easy.
Too. They really need to stay in the Word. You know, we have Christians who will read Christian books. They'll watch Christian TV, but you cannot get them to read the Bible.
Yes.
You know, and...
And that's our anchor, because if we don't... Thank God for the many years that I spent out on the road, and I'm grateful for that now, because I held over hundreds of services around the world. And I had, when I knew I was going out to preach, I actually prepared my sermon and spent hours studying so that I would have something to say. I didn't just pull a sermon out of a book.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see now that word that I put in my heart, how it stayed there, and I can pull it up when I need it. It's there, and it took root. So
we have to be good Bereans.
Yes, we have to be good Bereans and know the Word of God so we don't be deceived. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Jimmy Swaggart's gap theory. And what exactly is the gap theory?
Well, to be honest, Susan, I never heard of the gap theory till I heard Frances Swaggart mention it on her broadcast in January. And frankly, I was quite puzzled and confused as to why Christians would believe this. Basically, the gap theory, which is advocated by Jimmy Swaggart, and it's been around for a while, so others like Finis Dake teach this, they argue that there was previous life on this earth before God created the earth as recorded in Genesis 1-2.
Yes.
They argue that there is a large gap of time between Genesis 1 and 2. And it was on this previous earth when the dinosaurs roamed.
Oh.
And, right. And they argue that this previous earth ended with a war between the angels of God and the angels of Satan. And God sent a flood that destroyed the surface of the earth and killed all the animals and men at that time. And then after God destroyed this first earth, he restored it. So this is also known as the ruin restoration theory. So in a nutshell, it's God recreated the earth in Genesis. It wasn't a real creation. It wasn't the creation. It was a recreation.
Oh, funny. I never saw that.
So, like I said, my husband and I were quite puzzled. But I'll tell you what, we ran to get our Bibles.
Yeah. I thought that in Genesis it says, in the beginning.
Right, and that is what it says. But they take that as not
being the beginning.
And then it
says, on this day he did this, so we know a day is 24 hours. So I don't know. Where did it get this stuff from?
Well, in Jimmy Swaggart's Expositor's Bible, he has it broken down. So, like verse 1, Genesis 1, 1, he has that labeled as the original creation. And then verse 2, he has that labeled as chaos. And then verse 3, the first day. So he's saying that God recreated the earth in Genesis 1-3. It wasn't a creation, it was a, he recreated it. So I've never heard that, but now my mother said that Finis Dake, and I'm not sure how many of your listeners have heard of Finis Dake, who is a theologian.
He wrote the Dake's Bible.
Yes, he wrote the Dake's Bible, if they're familiar with that.
Yeah.
He taught this, and Swaggart uses a lot of Dake's ideas. In fact, Jimmy Swaggart was sued by Dake's heirs for plagiarizing a lot of his material, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yes. Which a lot of people don't know, but that is the truth. I'm not making that up.
Well, so did Kenneth Hagin plagiarize.
Yes, that's true.
Kenyon. I mean, word for word. Just about.
I think Swaggart did in a lot of sections. It was word for word, and then other was paraphrase, but so close that, you know, it might have been, should have been word for word for all that. It mattered. But Finis Dake was convicted and of transporting underage girls across state lines for moral acts. This was back in the
30s. Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yes, I didn't know that either until I started reading about the gap theory, and it took me back to Finis Dake, and then I learned about that.
Wow.
And this was back in the 30s.
Oh.
Yeah, and he maintained his innocence, although he did confess to taking them across state lines for moral purposes. He was in the Assemblies of God at the time, and his license was revoked. Then he joined the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee, and then later that was broken off, and he became independent. So, you know, you kind of have to understand where some of this is coming from. So Finis Dake, who my mom said he came to his church, had his chart and everything. It came from him. From Swaggart, but it goes back beyond that. It's really Gnosticism, and even the ancient pagans believed in this recreation of the earth, or the restoration, or a reincarnation of the earth. So it's nothing new.
Yes.
But theologians and Swaggart and Dake, they pretend they have this great enlightenment and this knowledge that it's not in the Bible, and it's been divinely revealed to them, and they're going to pass it on to us.
Yes, that's it. They've got some extra knowledge. I'm
going
to bring the caller back on. Yes, Ray?
Hey, Susan. I just
was going to give us, he had a comment about the gap theory.
Okay.
So go ahead, Ray.
Yes, I was at Victory Bible Institute. I don't know if you guys heard of that. That's it. Victory Christian Center, it's attached to ORU, and they had...
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, it was pastored by Billy Joe Daugherty, who passed away, now pastored by his wife, Sharon.
Yes, you got it. So I was a student there for a whole 2 weeks before I realized that they were
two
teaching.
2 weeks?
yeah. That's another story I could tell you another day on why
Now, what year were you in Tulsa?
I was there in 2004 to 2006.
Oh, okay. Tulsa-Rusalem, as they call it.
And actually, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about Richard Roberts, on how he was a false prophet. He was involved.
Oh yeah, definitely.
A lot of things, and that.
Well, him and his father actually were the ones that started that whole sea faith thing.
Yeah,
Oral Roberts started it.
Well, besides that, because I kind of believed in that at that time.
I did too.
Yeah, I knew that he was in sin. He was actually, you know, stealing money or whatever they found on him. You know, I knew that he was doing stuff like that. You know, so okay, back to this.
Well, they did lose the university. The Roberts family did lose the university. It's now owned by someone else.
Yeah, Green.
They were basically run out. But Richard now has a program. Oral Roberts has passed away, but Richard now has a program on TV. And I think he's got a small church there.
Yeah, I think his name is Thomas Green, the owner of Mardell's, president of the board. And I always had a problem with Mardell's because they sell Catholic stuff in the store. And I'm thinking to myself, how are you a born-again Christian and you are selling Catholic stuff?
Well, it's called M-O-N-E-Y. We do anything for M-O-N-E-Y.
Yeah.
Rosaries.
Yeah, they sell all of that to Mardell's.
Yeah.
So anyway, let me get back to the gap theory that they were teaching on. And let me just say this, that they just taught it as you can believe whatever you want to believe, but this is what people believe. So in Genesis chapter 1:26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And then if you jump over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Hold on. 2, verse 7, it says, "And then the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and the breath of his nostrils." So basically they're saying that that's where the gap is because there's two different stories there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they read that. And actually, I went to Tulsa Community College and took a New Testament class, and they believe that also. They say, there's two stories in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 of the creation.
Oh. Well, I never saw two stories. I saw one story. I saw one. It was very plain to me, and I'm sure to Karen, also, right, Karen, it was very plain to you that there's only one story of creation.
That's all I was ever taught, and when I read the Bible, that's all I see.
That's all I see.
I mean,
no, there is only one story, but basically they try to, I mean, because basically if you're not a true born-again Christian and you're just a theologian, those guys don't even really believe that Genesis is a fact. They believe it's mystical. So basically that's where the confusion sets in because a lot of the theologians don't even believe that this actually took place.
Yeah.
A lot of theologians aren't even Christians. Some of them are atheists and agnostics. And they try to confuse doubt, or they try to cause doubt and confusion in our minds. So, so we question the Bible, like, maybe it really isn't accurate.
Yeah, and all they do basically is look at the language of the Bible. Oh, it doesn't seem like James really wrote this because, this section of the Bible, he's talking in a verb tense, you know. They speak like that, and you're like, what does that have to do with you obeying what the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you in Scripture, you know? But they don't look at it like that. They think that it's a historical book, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Well, that's the I think there's a scripture, I don't know, I think it might be in Ecclesiastes when where it talks about it, you know, too much learning. You know, they go to school and they've got so much head knowledge that they try to make everything like it's so ethereal and it's so up there. But the Bible is simple. It's not a confusing book. It's simple. And but that's who's the author of confusion? I mean, it's definitely not the Lord Jesus Christ. We know who the author of confusion is. And the devil can sure use people to try to confuse people. And the gospel's simple. Salvation is simple. And Jesus Christ already paid the price. That's just a good way, though, I think, for some of these people to sell books.
Well, basically, just like the word of faith in any movement, you can't sell anything that simple.
Yeah, right.
You can't. I mean, if I wrote a book on how Jesus died and rose again, that's the symbolic of our baptism and we're raised up with Christ, that wouldn't sell anything because it's written. It's easy. You could see that in scripture, you know. So you got to come up with, hey, no more sheets or
seats
or something to get you a better job or something like that. It's like, go to school and get a better job, you know.
Yeah, amen to that. Get a job. And work your way up, and you get a better job. But that's the thing. So the way that it is now is that they try to promise people this pie in the sky, and okay, God can bless you, but He's definitely not going to rain money out of heaven because He doesn't have any money up there. So He's not raining any money down. The best way to get prosperity is to get a good job, get a good education. I mean, maybe somebody might leave you an inheritance or something, or somebody might decide they want to bless you somehow, some way. But as Christians, we should try to mind our own business and be honest and not act like a bunch of pimps like we see, which is, it's just so sad, I think, how Christianity is being portrayed to the world. But they make Christians look like a bunch of clowns. If unsaved people probably know better than some Christians when they turn on some of these programs and they see these people hawking all this stuff, how to get rich in my 21 ways, and just send me $1,000 and all your dreams come true. I mean, they probably know it's phony.
Well, let's just take this. Let's take it like this. Okay. The rich young ruler. You couldn't preach any of the gospel messages to the rich young ruler because he was already rich. It's like, why would he need to listen to Joyce Meyer or Dr. Price or Creswell? He's already rich.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense. I mean, even in the Bible, and me going back to the Bible days, they were persecuted for their, you know, switching over from Judaism to Christianity. You know, they were persecuted unto death. You know, so basically the same word in Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be a witness to me unto Judea, whatever. So that word witness is the word martyr.
And that's
the same word we use for a person dying for what they believe in. So
Yes. That's
what the power of the Holy Ghost is for, that we will be willing to die to ourselves for what we believe in.
Yes, amen. That's right. That's right. Well, thanks again for calling in, Ray.
Okay.
And I'm just going to finish up here with my guest. And thanks. That was interesting what you had to say. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Karen, you know, it's a sad thing also for Brother Swaggart to, has he always taught this gap theory?
I can't answer that, Susan. I don't know. The only thing I do know, and I did not know this, is Someone told me that the Expositor Study Bible that he sells now is not the same one he sold back in the 80s. It has been drastically rewritten.
Yeah.
And I did not know that. So what if he preached that or if he had that back in the 80s, you know, the pre-new edition, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that would be interesting to try to find out when he started believing and teaching. But I think he's always been a fan of Phineas Dake.
Yes, he has. And I think on that same program when I heard them talking about the gap theory, Frances said that, she said, well, I believe Jimmy is going to start teaching this as the doctrine. This is not an option. This is the doctrine of the Bible, the gap theory.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah,
that
was really sad.
That is very sad because that's you can see, and I want to do a program about it in the future about the Swaggarts, but you can see how they're descending into so much error, and it's very, very sad because after God exposes you, which he did back in the 80s, any of us that remember the days of the mid-1980s when we had all the scandals with Jim Baker and Jimmy Swagger and how sad it was for us. I know for myself, it was very, very sad time what was happening when God was shaking up the church. And we're starting to see a little bit of it even happening now. But the interesting thing is how people don't seem to care as much as they did back in the 80s.
Now they tell you, well, like you said, we're not supposed to judge. And I've had people write to me about my Jimmy Swaggart articles. You're not the judge. Who are you to judge? God will judge him. He's preaching on TV.
Yeah, well, yes, that's another way that people think you're credible is because you're preaching on TV.
Yeah.
I remember back in when I was first starting out in ministry and doing some preaching and how hard it was to preach to some people because they didn't want to hear what you had to say because maybe Kenneth Copeland said it different.
Yeah.
And after all, just because Kenneth was on TV or Fred Price or Creflo Dollar, that gave them more credibility than you.
Mm-hmm.
And who were you to say anything when you're not rich and famous? So,
right. Well, I'm sure they've told you, who do you think you are? What authority do you have?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
well,
are you a credentialed minister, or do you have a church? Do you have a television program?
Well, you know, I all those, I did have credentials. I did have a television program. I did have a lot of that, but I found that, you know, that all didn't matter to me because if I couldn't tell the truth of the gospel, that was the most important thing. That I used to be invited on some Christian television programs, but then after when I started coming against the seed faith and the tithing and all that, well, then I wasn't invited anymore.
Right.
And I wasn't invited anymore to Word of Faith churches. That was over. I haven't had an invitation since 1997. But I never expected to get another invitation. I knew that I wouldn't be a person that would be welcome. But God then has ways of opening up other doors for people to get the message out, and people that aren't going to bow the knee to the fame and fortune and the pride that goes along with all that, that we take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ because we love Jesus. We love what he did for us. Look what he did for us. He saved us. He healed us. He delivered our life from destruction, and we can never thank him enough for what he's done. But I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Karen. And I want to recommend Karen's website, The Liberty Advocate. And I'm glad all the callers, I thank you so much for calling in. And Ray says that he's sorry he took so much of the time, but I'm not, Ray. I'm glad you called in. I'm always happy to hear what other people have to say, and you're always welcome. All the people in the chat room and anybody else that wants to call in, you're always welcome to call in and make your comments and let your voice be heard. So, Karen, we're going to do it again. And I want to thank you so much for your time, for your ministry, and for your dedication to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you, Susan. And I know that your program is touching a lot of lives, and I enjoy it as well.
Yes, I know that too. And we want that, even that one person that's listening today, and you may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but he is a merciful Lord and a forgiving Lord. And he can forgive you of your sins and give you a new life today. You can be born again. Jesus Christ said you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we ask you to invite Jesus Christ into your life today. Tell him you're sorry for your sins and ask him to come into your life and give you a new life. And he will. He will come. It's a simple prayer, a simple heartfelt prayer. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our wonderful Master, we love him, we worship him, and we thank him for his wonderful gift. And we thank him for his people. We thank him for all the people that came to the chat room and listened today, and for my very special guest, Karen Panzer Lamb of the Liberty Advocate. So thanks, Karen. And I'm going to sign out now, and God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.